Most people live under a form of slavery. For the first time in modern history, individuals can hold wealth that cannot be arbitrarily debased. The yield on Bitcoin is not measured in dollars or euros. The yield on Bitcoin is freedom. When I found Bitcoin just 4 years ago, it was probably for the same reason you did. It was an investment. It was for number go up. And as I learned a bit more, it became a hedge against the big print. I don't remember what exactly the fiat price was when I started dollar cost averaging, making my first purchases, but I do know that I wasn't smash buying as much as I could at the $16,000 bottom of the 2022 bear market. Now I wish I'd been listening to 4 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a day instead of just two. Maybe my conviction would have been higher. But time is a great teacher. I share all of this to say that Bitcoin has not made me rich, at least not yet. To be honest, I don't really care because what Bitcoin has provided me is worth far more than increased purchasing power. For many, I realize the frustration remains. We haven't had the Omega candles we were promised. Wall Street and Treasury companies haven't taken us to the moon, and it's been a boring ride the last year or so, if all you're watching is a fiat price chart. For the last 2 years, I've had the opportunity to work full-time in Bitcoin, to earn my income exclusively in Bitcoin, and to operate side by side with the most uncompromising team in Bitcoin at the Bitcoin Way. And I've learned a lot and come a long way. In fact, my entire life has changed since I made one important realization. The yield on Bitcoin is not measured in dollars or euros or any local fiat currency. It's not measured in a bigger bank account, nicer house, or a Lamborghini in the garage. The yield on Bitcoin is freedom. As I said, Bitcoin has not made me rich, but it has made me wealthy. My time, my health, my relationships, my perspectives, my sense of privacy, my ability to move throughout the world with greater sovereignty are all a result of Bitcoin. And these things are the real measure of wealth. You see, most people don't realize they never really had freedom to begin with. We are born into systems we never chose. We inherit rules we never agreed to, and over time, those rules begin to feel normal. So normal, in fact, that questioning them seems radical. But today, I want to make a claim that will make you uncomfortable. The concept I first heard from my friend Neil Flesher, author of an excellent book, Modern Chains. Most people, including many in this room, live under a form of slavery. And I don't use that phrase lightly. Some of this slavery is economic, some political, some in the form of privacy violations. When we think of slavery, we imagine chains, violence, and plantations. But if you strip away the imagery, slavery becomes much simpler. Slavery is the coercive extraction of another person's productive value, when someone else claims the fruits of our labor and our life. And once we begin to understand that, we begin to see it everywhere. First, let's address the obvious elephant in the room, inflation. Inflation is not theft. It's not extortion. You're not having your wealth physically separated from you the way a thief might rob you. We have another word for that, taxes. Every day, you go to work and convert your time and energy into money. Your labor becomes currency. And as we know, central banks around the world dilute this currency such that the labor you put in is no longer worth what you intended. The same way slaves work for little or nothing. After 2008, central banks printed trillions. After COVID, they printed even more. And as Lynn Alden says, nothing stops this train. The money printer will only run faster as the fabric of society unravels. In the 5 years following 2020, the US dollar lost roughly one-fifth of its purchasing power. Now think about that. You work 5 days a week, and one of them, assuming you operate on fiat, was taken from you. 20% of your participation in the broader economy was as a slave. You showed up, you worked, you created value, and quietly, invisibly, that value was taken. Not through visible extortion, but through economic servitude. Inflation isn't just a statistic that politicians lie about. It's the silent extraction of human labor. But inflation, of course, is just the base layer of the scheme, because its effects ripple into everything else. It incentivizes lower quality food so we get fat and unhealthy. It incentivizes two-income households so our children are subjected to government indoctrination camps, which, by the way, inform them that some slavery is bad, but economic slavery is good. It incentivizes laws and regulations that strengthen the big companies who control almost everything. It incentivizes wars, vaccine mandates, and state-sanctioned surveillance, and just about everything else you don't like about the world. It's not that Bitcoin fixes these incentives, because so long as fiat exists, so will they. It's that Bitcoin opens our eyes to them and provides the one chance we have to opt out. So why do most people accept the system? Why do even many Bitcoiners save in Bitcoin but continue, more or less, operating on the fiat plantation? I would argue it's because most people misunderstand where their rights come from, and in doing so, settle for far less than they could. Most still believe rights are granted by governments, issued on a piece of editable paper. But then, free speech evolves into police warrants, taxes on the wealthy become extortion of the poor, bodily autonomy laws turn into vaccine mandates, self-defense privileges migrate from individuals to the state. If rights are granted by governments, then they are not yours, and they are never safe for long. And it's for this reason that philosophers like John Locke argued something very different. Rights do not come from kings. They do not come from governments. They do not depend on permission from any person, committee, or elected official. They exist simply because you are human. And Locke described three of them: the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to property. In other words, your body is your own. Nobody should harm it, force you to do anything with it you don't want. And so long as you respect the liberty of others, you can more or less do things as you see fit. And when you work, when you labor and produce value to the world in whatever capacity you desire, the results belong to you, not to a king, not to a central bank, not to a government, but to you. Government, should it exist at all, must be designed to protect these rights. But of course, history shows something quite different. Again and again, the institutions created to protect individual freedom begin to consume it. And that is where Bitcoin enters the story. Bitcoin does not simply introduce a new form of money. It reveals the system we already live in. Once you really understand Bitcoin, you see the mechanisms of extraction everywhere. You begin to see how incentives shape institutions. You begin to shed yourself of tribalistic politics. You begin to see how dependent modern society is on centralized control, and you begin to question everything. Bitcoin removes the money printer. It removes the need for intermediaries, removes the need for permission. For the first time in modern history, individuals can hold wealth that cannot be arbitrarily debased. Money, property, that can be held directly and never confiscated. Money that does not require trust. When you experience this, when you internalize this, you begin asking bigger questions. If governments or central bankers shouldn't control my money, what else shouldn't they control? My speech, my privacy, my health, my data, my life? The journey down the Bitcoin rabbit hole begins with the hope for more fiat, but where it should lead is to an awakening. And this awakening is where your idea of chasing yield begins to change. Bitcoin doesn't produce interest or dividends or cash flows. It produces independence. Because when your wealth cannot be diluted, frozen, or confiscated, you begin to think differently. You speak differently. You live differently. And a person who requires no permission is far harder to control. The first awakening begins when you recognize you need sovereignty over your wealth. But most get this wrong. They hire a custodial provider. They provide them their sensitive data. They share private keys. They use inferior hardware and tools. They introduce counterparty risk where none is required, and any at all is a senseless compromise. But when you hold Bitcoin in proper 100% self-custody, you eliminate these risks. No banks, no permission, no shortcuts. You control it, you secure it, and you decide when it moves. As I said, for the first time in modern history, you can truly own your own wealth, and that changes you. This is the first yield on Bitcoin, financial sovereignty. Most people compromise or take shortcuts here, but for those who don't, this is too often where the journey ends. Securing your wealth is an important first step, but you don't have to look far to realize that another part of your life is being extracted, your digital life. Every message you send, every website you visit, every fiat purchase you make, every movement of your phone, somewhere it is being recorded. Your phone tracks you, your browser fingerprints you, your bank analyzes you, and of course, your government collects it all. It's becoming the default setting of modern technology. Surveillance, however, rarely arrives as oppression. It arrives as convenience. Faster payments, easier logins, personalized services. But convenience comes with the cost. For the system to see you, it has to serve you. And the more it sees, the more power it accumulates. Let me assure you that none of this is designed for your benefit. Follow the money, follow the power. And once you see that clearly, the next step becomes quite obvious. Better tools, better habits, and personal responsibility. The second yield on Bitcoin is earned when you begin to realize that if you refuse to opt out, you are by default opting in to a digital prison cell. And there is one more crucially important awakening that should happen when you dive boldly down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. You begin to realize that where and how you live has an enormous impact on how well you can practically operate in the world. Sure, you can transact freely with Bitcoin, and maybe you can browse the web and send messages privately. But can you avoid insane tax policies? Can you say what you want on social media? Can you possess the tools to protect yourself and your family? Can you homeschool your kids? Can you be left alone to live the life that you desire? Most people can't do all these things. In Australia, you could be subject to taxes for living on the fourth floor of your building, or very soon, for having an empty bedroom in your house. In the UK, social media posts are sending people behind bars. In the US, several states are trying to ban VPNs and other privacy tools. For most of human history, these questions I pose were effectively unworthy of being asked, and these sorts of restrictions were inescapable. You were born under a ruler, you lived under that ruler, you died under that ruler. Your life was tied to geography. But that is changing, and Bitcoin accelerates that change. Because when we alone hold our wealth and it can move across borders with ease, the map of the world changes. We're no longer tied to one jurisdiction. We have options, a plan B. For most of history, governments did not compete for citizens. People were constrained by arbitrary lines on a map or crude forms of transportation. But Bitcoin and modern technology change all that. When wealth becomes portable, governments must compete for the people who create value. Instead of citizens begging for freedom, which we see in many parts of the world today, smaller, unassuming jurisdictions begin fighting to attract talent. If you are living somewhere that is on the wrong path, you have three options. Roll over and submit, build your tribe, and prepare to resist, or pick up your wealth and leave. Not everyone will, but most should at least have this option. Because experiencing the yield of freedom begins with something simple, the ability to say no. The problem is many Bitcoiners continue to accept Bitcoin only as an investment or a hedge, never mind the fiat games that so many play under the guise of Bitcoin. They accept surveillance for convenience. They stay on their plantation because leaving feels risky. They default to what is familiar. In other words, most Bitcoiners can now see the prison bars and the open door, but have yet to step out into the freedom they deserve. My personal life is a work in progress. It's a journey. I don't have it all figured out, but the key is that I keep progressing, changing the way I live to better myself and my life. I'm homeschooling my kids. I've changed the way I eat and exercise. I no longer have fluoride in my water, sunscreen on my skin, or antibiotics in my food. I read different books. I learn different skills. I've started building my own little citadel with those closest to me. I ditched mainstream news, trust in institutions, and any faith I had that people in power have my best interest in mind. And I've done it all in the name of a more peaceful, self-sovereign life. If you are here because you believe, you truly believe, that there is no second best, then this is your call to action. Take your Bitcoin into 100% self-custody. Opt out the surveillance apparatus and prepare to move. The day may come where the choice is this or slavery, and there is no middle ground. Freedom is not granted by politicians. It's not protected by institutions, and it is never permanent. What was once a safe haven can become a war zone overnight. What was once a bastion of freedom can become a surveillance state. What was once an economic production engine can become the CBDC capital of the world. Freedom survives and exists only where individuals choose it and take it. You see, we are all on this journey together. I've not fully arrived, and I'm not sure I ever will. There is always more digging to do and work to be done. What I've learned is that Bitcoin gives us the most powerful, peaceful tool for reclaiming freedom that humanity has ever seen. It's not just better money. It's the ability to opt out, to reclaim your labor, to reclaim your privacy, to reclaim your autonomy. Because the ultimate power of Bitcoin is not that it makes us rich. It's that it changes the way we think, the way we view the world, and the way we live our lives. It's that it makes us harder to control. And when enough of us become harder to control, the world changes. And that is when we win, from the bottom up. So, yes, Bitcoin will go up in fiat terms. Stack sats, and I believe one day you'll have your financial reward. But that's not the real yield. The real yield on Bitcoin is freedom. And that freedom belongs to anyone willing to claim it. Thank you.